Madam Abernathy, I hope that this letter greets upon you well. I am the unfortunate bearer of bad news, as I have the utmost tragic and dire task to have to inform you of your son, Jasper Abernathy's passing. I cannot imagine the deep grief that you must feel, and I know that my condolences feel ingenuine under these circumstances. I hope that you consider that they are not, for I too had felt a grief that had buried itself deep within me, and hatched itself in terrible fashion every day since. Even now I feel it twisting inside me. You might have come by some other means to learn of your son's passing. In truth, I have been putting this off, and as you know, days turned into weeks, turned into months, into years. I promised, however, it is better late than never, eh? I do not wish to presume that I know you, although having spent an inordinate amount of time with your son, I have heard a lot about you and what Jasper described as your terrible woe. One last reprieve you should know is that I am an Indian, from the small community known as Coyote Canyon in the southwest of North America. I met your son, and we have developed a deep acquaintance with one another. Given the nature of your disagreements, I surmise that you know of the type of relationship in which I speak. I came across Jasper upon the ridge overlooking the start of the canyon, which is a generous term for that of a landscape. Nonetheless, the canyon cuts deep and narrow like a hatchet mark upon the earth. It seems to appear where it shouldn't, tucked deep into the hard-pan desert. Jasper had strange instruments upon his person, which I later learned to be that of a surveyor, a dedication which meant the cutting and distributing and segregating of the land of my ancestors. I was sent there by the community to confront this white man who had intruded without introduction or intent. I was hot-blooded when I ran up to him, demanding he leave, that this wasn't his place, and that he wasn't welcome. He looked me up and down, and then paused, as if searching for the right thing to say. After a moment of nothing, he then turned back towards his tools and asked me if I wanted a look. That took me aback. A few moments with him, and I forgot why I was mad. I am much older than your son, and his vigorousness for life just astounded me. I had wondered if I had ever exhibited such youthfulness. I don't think so. He seemed at home everywhere, among the bushes, among the gullies, and especially among the community which spread out far and wide along the edge of the canyon. People were polite and addressed him by name, friendly like whenever they came across him. When I reported to the community, though, and there was no ear but us to hear, they called him other things. I strived hard not to let anyone know that I had been spending time with him. Things were different, changing. The church had come, and word out in Wonder Rock was that they were talking about elections. I had big eyes and bigger thoughts. That all ended. I made a choice. A part of me wants to write more, tell you more, share with you in the hopes that you understand just exactly you put aside and threw away as if he were nothing. Nothing. I think that's foolish for me to try, and well, that part, which I hope would convince you, just doesn't belong to you. I shall keep it for myself, because it's for us. If you got this far, then I hope you come with me a little further. The people came around eventually. Many came to the ceremony we had. When the winters came, he would invite the elders and traveling medicine men to stay with us, and they would tell us and whoever else who cared to gather the stories of the world before. Jasper would build a fire and sit next to the storyteller, and would drum and sing and react at all the right places. The children loved him. He held on to one story, though, tight, as if it were his own. Some say that this is the canyon where Coyote helped place the stars into the sky. Sitting atop the canyon walls was First Man, who was placing all the constellations. Coyote, being Coyote, came over and saw all the rest of the stars upon the blanket. Wanting to help, he grabbed the two edges and yanked the blanket upward, and all the stars went flying and settled where they are today. A masterpiece, made by accident. Jasper didn't think so. He thought that Coyote knew exactly what he was doing. In that chaos, he saw intent, purpose, reason to be. He saw what was coming. Toward the end, his youth seemed to drain from him. He needed more and more help, and when I tried to help him, he would push me off, said he just wanted to sit out in the open and watch the world go from night to day. I stayed with him, and as we sat there under that star quilt, He would say to me that it was near time for him to join Coyote in the canyon, and hope that he would be put into the sky like one of those stars. He was frail. I didn't worry. You can guess what happened. I found him as the canyon ends, toward the east, clear into the open valley and beyond. In the distance, I could hear the night songs give into day, and I stayed with him until they silenced. I stayed and looked up at what I thought was chaos. They looked different now. Jasper's spirit was not to be trapped. Not by me. Not by life. Soon, it shall be my turn. I shall go into the canyon and look upon the canopy, and I hope when I come to the end that Coyote will be waiting for me, sitting on a blanket full of stardust. With love and hope, your son-in-law, Jonathan.
El Campo Santo was made in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico by Blackout Theater Company. Our goal is to tell the stories of New Mexico on stage, screen, and anywhere else you are. This podcast was made possible with generous support from the City of Albuquerque City Council Department of Arts and Culture, New Mexico Arts, and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. If you like this podcast, you should check out our season one of El Campo Santo. If you would like to learn more about our plays and any other works, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.